chapter 2, verse 13, to read a scripture our pastor has chosen today. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. If Titus is hard for you to find, go to Revelations and work your way back.
There you go.
When you hit Hebrews, you're close.
If you're in Genesis, you're too far.
Genesis, you're in the wrong area.
Yeah.
Titus chapter 2, verse 13. When you get there, say amen. It must be hard to find. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. When you get there, say hallelujah. That's better. That's better. It says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's powerful. Amen.
Happy Sava, everyone. Thank you, brothers, for such a wonderful song. We are blessed in this church. Amen?
Amen.
We are blessed. We are blessed. I don't know if Jeremy is in the back already, but I'm gonna use this one this morning.
All right. Can you hear me okay? Yes? 1, 2. Hello? I don't know if he... That's all right. It's good to be here today.
Amen.
We want to praise God for the blessings that we have to be in the house of the Lord in the Sabbath day.
Yes.
So, we're going to continue our topic from last week. But before we get into that, let me just share with you the hashtags of the day. So you can share, right? You can share. I just want to say also that, you know, we have a wonderful time, me and my family and the brothers and sisters who came on Sabbath, Saturday night. Thank you so much for being there. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. We need to keep doing all that together. Okay, so this is what we have for today. In the last day, right, is a title. In the last day, we have hope. I think I need to go down because I cannot see quite well from here. So let me go. All right. So we have hope. Be faithful and teach and preach, which is our theme for the year. And of course, Sabbath in Troy. Okay. Last week we talked about this. Before we get into that, we'll stay that for a minute. Staying there for a minute. This week, it was somewhat a different week for me and my family, I would say. Michelle got sick this week. She was off work for the whole week. And we have to go on Sunday night. We have to go to the emergency room. And so the whole week was very interesting, you know. She was feeling dizzy and all stuff. And we were praying to God, you know, that she'll feel better. And today, yes, I want to praise the name of God. She's here today. She's all doing great and better. Praise God for that. But I was scared. We went to the doctors and she got some pills and all that stuff. And then on Thursday in the morning, no, Wednesday morning, we went out to a clinic, you know, to continue the studies and tests and all that stuff. I'm thinking, well, you know, God, pray everything's going well, you know, so they do run more tests and all that stuff. And the doctor said to us, you know, there's just one more thing that I want to do, just to make sure everything goes well, you know. I want to run a pregnancy test. So I'm sitting there, right, in the little room. Now I'm, Lord. Lord. I couldn't say anything else. I was like, Father, if there's a time now that I need you to, this is the time. So I was looking at the room, right, that was sitting there, and I was thinking in my mind, if the chief's come by saying that she is pregnant. I was just thinking, where am I going to fall? Let me just make sure that if I go down, I don't hit myself too hard. But I was thinking in my mind, I'm going to go down. This is, whatever's happened to her is now is going to happen to me. And I was waiting for the news. And she looking at me like, can you imagine? I was like, no, sister, don't say anything like that. And the doctor came back and he said, no, everything, there's nothing there. Praise the name of the Lord. I mean, it's not like, you know, we're good, we're set, you know. We pampers are over. Yes, yes. So we're done with all that stuff. But I was waiting for the news. I was kind of concerned. You know, I was concerned because I don't know what the news is going to be. You know, so I was waiting. I was really worried about it. Just the expectation of what's going to happen, what she's going to say, what she's going to say. You know, and that's the way that we live today. We live in the world that we are always expecting with the news. What is next? What is going to happen? How are things going to happen? Are we ready to receive the news? I mean, we've seen what's coming. We see what's going on out there in the TVs and everywhere. And it seems to me that sometimes we, even though we hear what's going on, it's always something. It's like we're not ready. Every day is something new. Every week there's something new. We're not ready. So there's so much expectation. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Today, as we continue our topic in the last days, I want to share with you something else. Last week we talked about the human condition, how things are right now, and the things that we have seen in us. The things that we have seen in us. The way that we behave, the way we talk to each other, the way that we are, the way people act to one another. We have seen this right now happening to us. So we are in the last days. But today I want to ask something. Even though we are in the last days, I want to share with the church today that we have hope. In the midst of last days, we have hope. Yes. We have hope. So let us pray. Father, help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. See, this is what we talked last week. We talked about Matthew 24. And we love Matthew 24 when we talk about prophecy, right? We talk about prophecy and we love that as church. We study and we want to know more about what's going to happen. We want to know more when it's going to happen. Matthew 24 tells us that at the end of the days, this is going to happen. Earthquakes and all kinds of stuff is going to happen. We have seen that right now. We've seen that every day, right? So Matthew 24, I was just going back to some of the things that we saw last week so we can get back on track. All right? So Jesus says to them, be careful that no one leads you to the wrong way. Many people will come using my name. They will say, I am the Christ. And they will fool many people and will turn to the wrong way. We have seen that. We talked about this last Sabbath where this lady in South Korea believed that she is the mother of God and people are worshiping her. And this more than 2 million people who follow her. So she thinks she's the mother of God and she thinks that Christ is already here and all kinds of crazy stuff. But a lot of people believe in her. So the prophecy is coming through. It's real. It's happening. All right? So we keep studying, we keep reading, and Matthew keeps saying, you will hear of wars, a lot of talk about wars, but don't be afraid. These things must happen. This is not the end yet. It's not the end yet. We've seen this, but it's not the end yet. Nations will have wars with one nations. Countries will fight against countries, and there will be no food for people. The earthquake, there will be earthquake. The earth will shake and break apart in different places. And these things are the beginning of sorrows. And we've seen this in the news everywhere. You know what's going on in the nations in different places. And we talk about how this is changing the context of our home and neighborhood and our nation. Okay? And we talk about that, we mentioned last Sabbath that every day at least three women die due to domestic violence and abuse happening right there at home. 3 days, every day, at least three women die every day. This is happening here in the States every day. Now, I didn't show this one last week, but this one is caught my attention when I saw this one, because 603 million women live where domestic violence is not considered a crime. Brothers and sisters, this is the world that we are living today. 603 million women live in places where it's okay not only to say mean things today, but it's okay to hit her. It's tough when you think about this. This is the world that we are living. And the Bible talks about this, that we are in the last days. It's expected to happen. Even though we know it's in the Bible, it's going to happen, we are not ready to see these things. We are not ready. So earthquakes is going to happen. There's no food for people. And right now we have seen all that. Here in the States, you will see a lot of people who lack for food. They're searching and looking somewhere, somebody who can just give something to them. Earthquakes. It's happening. Last week, we talked about the Ecuador earthquake. It's happening. Every week, there's something new. Every week, every month, there's always something. There's always something. And we talk about, of course, 2 Timothy, which was our focus, it was our concentration from last week. And it says that you must understand that in the last days, there will come times of much trouble. And this one is very powerful because it says that people will love themselves and money. We talk about that and how people are just love money and love themselves. They don't want to do anything with anybody else. They just care about themselves. We talk about that. They will have pride and tell you all the things they have done. We've seen that everywhere. We've seen people like that. We see a lot of that in the whatever is going on right now with those president candidates. They tell you what you want to hear. They tell me what I want to hear. And they say they're going to fix the country. And they bring in hope for what's going to happen. They have all these formulas. How they going to change what's going on in the nation. They bring different type of lies. So you can vote for them. And they promise you the whole world. And they promise you better things at work. They give you, they're going to have a better retirement plan. And they're going to give you all the stuff that you want to hear. But as soon as they get there, they forget all about that. It's all about their pocket. It's all about their money. About their family, their friends. The Bible says that children and young people will not obey their parents. And we've seen that. We have seen that how in the last days the parents, they don't know what to do with their kids. They don't know what to do with their children. And they're desperate and they don't know what to do. And some even parents call social services and call different people, agencies, and please help me with my child. And then they call to the school and say, you know, you're in charge. You're responsible to help my child to have a better education. Because they don't know what to do. Children and young people know where their parents. People will not be thankful and they will not be holy. This one, number three, they will not love each other. No one will get along with them. Seeing that. They will tell lies about others. They will tell lies about you just so they can step forward. They will put you down on work, say all kinds of stuff about you so they can get a better position than you. It's happening, brothers and sisters. And they will not be able to keep from doing things that they know they should not do. Have you been there? Have you seen people like that? I'm trying, but I can't. There's something in me that I just can't do the right thing. It's happening. They will be wild and want to be beat and hurt those who are good. There's people who are just mean. And for no reason, they just want to hurt you. They don't know who you are. You never say anything wrong to them. Never. You barely know them. And they just want to hurt you. It's happening. They will not stay true to their friends. Wow. They will act without thinking. We spent some time last week talking about that, how people do things and they don't. The only thing they say, I don't know, I was thinking. We talked about that last week. And they will think too much about themselves. They will love fun instead of loving God. We've seen this. I don't want to go to church. I'd rather go to a club or I'd rather go to a restaurant. I got to go do this and do that because it's more fun to be in church with boring people, singing with the whole old sin and all sons. There's nothing relevant in there. And people think that way. Church is boring. People are there is boring. They don't know what they're doing. It's just boring, plain boring. They love fun instead of loving God. But let's think that I mentioned last week that when we talk about prophecy, let's just think about a different view. It's not only for people outside, it's also for people inside the church. Because there's a lot of people in church that they don't come to worship. We just want the worship to be over. It's almost 12:30. Pastor, hurry up. I got to go eat because there's something better to do for me. It's getting boring. They will not receive the power that is for Christian. Keep away from such people. That's what the Bible is saying. So this is the condition that we are right now. We just went back real quick to what we talked about last week. Now, when you keep reading Matthew 24 is a wonderful text. It's a wonderful statement in the Bible. You can read that and read it, and you will see that we are right there in the midst of the last days. You see, sometimes I remember when I was growing up, people used to say, oh, no, the last days are coming, and this is going to happen. But you know what? The last days are here. So you don't need to pray about, you know, what's going to happen with the last days. You need to stop thinking and pray about it. How are we going to survive while we are in the last days? Last days are here, when we are in the midst of it. Now, Matthew 24:19-13 says that in the last days, he's talking about the Christian, the faithful one now. Those who are faithful to God. Those who are faithful to God, this is going to happen to us. He's talking about in the last days that the faithful are going to go through this stuff right here. In the last days, they will be arrested. Then you will be arrested. Us will be arrested, right? Persecuted and killed in the last days. I don't know if you're getting this, brothers and sisters. But in the last days, there are people who are going through that right now. See, sometimes we think that, oh, man, it's not happening to me yet. It's not happening here in the States, so I'm good. But yet, guess what? It's already happening. They are faithful Christians right now from our church who are in jail. There are Christians who are being killed right now. SDM members, just like you and I, who were worshiping a couple of weeks ago on Sabbath, and they're not here any longer because they were killed. It's happening. Just because it's not happening here, that doesn't mean it's not happening to somebody else. But it's already happening. You will be hate all over the world because you are my followers. Are you ready for that? Maybe some of you are already going through that process right now, where people don't want to see you. People don't want to know anything about you because you're a Sabbath keeper. Because the way you talk is different. Because the way you treat your wife and your children is different. And people, they just hate you because of that. Because you are a follower of Christ, and you, the way you think, the way you act is different. Verse number 10, and many will turn away. Listen, it's talking about us. Some of the faithful, we're going to go to jail. Some of the faithful are going to be persecuted. Some of the faithful are going to be killed. It's talking about us, brothers and sisters. I don't know if you're excited, but I am excited. Because the Bible says that we are in the last days. And if you are faithful to God, it's going to happen to you. You will be arrested. You will be persecuted. You will be killed. But praise the name of God, because we know that we have hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, verse 10 says that those who are probably part of the church right now, those who are in church right now, probably some of them will turn away from God. Come on, say amen now. Some of us, praise God, help us, Jesus, right? That some people who are here, sitting here today, maybe that's not our case, so we pray to God for that. But some people will turn away and they will betray you. People who are sitting next to you today, one day they say, well, you know what? I know someone who keeps the Sabbath. I know someone who follows Christ. I know someone. I'll tell you where he lives. Let me take you to her home so you can get rid of her. brothers and sisters who come together in church, they're going to turn away from Christ. Those who said that are your friends, there will be a time that that friendship will be tested, put to trial. And many false prophets, we keep saying Matthew 24, the many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. We talked about this last week, right? And sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Have you been there? How do you react now when you see somebody hurt on the street? Do you stop? Like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, was somebody there, you saw somebody hurting, and you want to stop your car because you want to go help. And now you say, well, I don't know if it's a trick. I don't know if I stop, they're going to do something to me. And we don't stop. We want to stop, but it's like, I don't know. You know, I have my kids in my bag, and my wife is waiting for me. I don't know if I should stop and help. Maybe somebody else will do it. That's what the Bible said. Since everywhere, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who endures to the end will be saved. And I want to talk to you about those who are willing to endure until the end.
Yes.
The faithful one. And despite what's going on in the last day, we're still faithful to the end. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that group. Now you're thinking, well, Pastor, where can we find hope? Where can we find hope in this last day? There's something that we can do. There's something that we can say. Where can we go? Please share with me. What can we do to find hope in these last days? Well, if you want to know where can we find hope in the last days, you need to go to a book that is specially written for those who live in the last days. Oh, come on, church, right now. If you want to have hope in the midst of last days, you need to read, you need to study a book who teach us, for the people who are living the last days, how things are going to be. What book am I talking about? What book is that? The Bible. Yes, yes, but there's a book in the Bible. There is a particular book in the Bible that talks about that. Yes, Revelation. The book of Revelation. What is so important about that? Well, we're going to find out. Today I'm going to preach for you hope in the book of Revelation. And from now on, when I'm here preaching, I want to preach from Revelation.
Yes.
Revival from Revelation. That's my topic for the next year. I don't know how many times I'm preaching in the schedule, but you can go back and check. If you see me in the schedule, you know that my teaching, my preaching will be revival from Revelation. Why? Well, we are living the last days. And I want to be ready. Oh, come on now. I want to be ready to see Christ.
Amen.
I want to be ready to go to heaven.
Yeah.
So since we are living the last days, we need to read the Bible. We need to read the book of Revelation. We need to know what God is trying to say to us. But keep in mind that we're going to look things in a different way. Yes, we're going to see all the beasts and the seven churches and all that stuff. But we're going to see all that from a different point of view. We talk about revival from Revelation. All right? So, yes, we have to go there. Because there's so much meaning to that. There's much power in that book. Revelation chapter 1:9. Why are we going to find hope in the book of Revelation? Well, I'll tell you why. One of the reasons that we're going to find hope there is because of this. Will you read Revelation chapter 9, verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. It's there in the screen. You can find your Bible. I, John, your brother and companion, the suffering of kingdom of patient endurance that are in our Jesus, I was in the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus.
Yes.
You remember who was John? You remember who was it? Who was this John who received this important Bible, book from the Bible? Who was this John?
Son of Thunder.
What was that? How when Jesus called him first, how he was called? You guys remember that? The Son of Thunder. And his brother was who?
James.
John and James were brothers, and Jesus called them the Sons of Thunder. Well, there should be hope in that, just there. When you read Revelation chapter 9, I'm telling you that we're going to speak from Revelation from a different point of view from now on. Just reading that gives me hope. Because Jesus is talking with a guy who called him Son of Thunder. Why was Jesus calling him John the Son of Thunder?
He had a temper.
He had a temper. That's right. And there was a time when John and James and all the disciples were with Jesus, and they went to this village in Samaria, and they were there, and the people were not pleased to see Jesus. I don't know if you read that in the Bible. They were not pleased to see Jesus, and James and John said, "Well, Jesus, give us the okay to go and burn the whole village." Have you read that in the Bible? Let me just go out there and destroy everybody by fire. He's talking about a guy who is called the Son of Thunder. Temper. A mean guy. If you push John too hard, he will push you even harder. If you talk about him, he will get you. This is John, was a difficult guy. Jesus called him the Son of Thunder. Think about this. I don't know about you, but what Jesus would call us today? What nickname would Jesus call me? What nickname would Jesus call you? Because of your temper. Because of your decisions. What name he will put on you? Now, there's hope for us, brother and sister. Because Jesus is saying, you know, I'm willing to work with a guy who has a bad temper. I'm willing to work with this guy who sometimes is acts before he thinks. But I'm willing to work with him. There's still hope for us, brothers and sisters. Because this guy was able to use somebody like John. I know God is able to use somebody like me. Come on, praise the name of God. You know better than John. You know better than me. I know better than you. But God is wonderful. He's such a great God. And he's willing to work with us. So there's hope right there. John, the Son of Thunder. Now there's a very interesting story about John. When John received this book of Revelation, he was really old. More than 90 years old. He was old. He was no longer called the Son of Thunder. The day was over. Now he's old. Why? He was not called the Son of Thunder anymore. Because he has been with Jesus.
Amen.
Has spent time with Jesus.
Amen.
And when you spend time with Jesus, things changes.
Yes.
Things do not stay the same.
Amen.
Things that you used to do, you don't do anymore. The way that you used to think, you don't think that way anymore. Because you have been with Jesus. And when Jesus is with you, things changes in a mighty way. So now he's old. 90 years old. Probably a little bit more. He's old. And the Roman Empire, they were really mad and upset about the Christian. How the Christian were preaching about the Lord and how they were reaching people. And people were saying, "I want to follow Christ." And they want to be part of this movement. And people were getting baptized and people want to be following Christ. And John was preaching. But the Romans got upset. And they said, "We got to do something about this. We need to kill the leader." By this time, when John is in Revelation, when John is in Patmos, there's no more disciples. Everybody's gone. They're all dead. Peter is not there. James is not there. Mark is not there. There's no one left. The only one left is John. And they tried to pull the old man down. You remember that? Have you read that story? When they call him? And they put in this pop oil, boiling oil. Have you heard that story?
Yes.
And he was there in the oil. But he was able to survive.
Amen.
So by this time, the Romans are really upset. And they say, "We got to do something about this. We got to send him in a place where he can just die there. Because now the word is out that Christian, faithful Christian, don't burn." Oh, come on now, church. Faithful Christian, don't burn.
Yes.
When you are faithful to God, you're going to be able to stand to the end. The Bible said that in the last day, this earth will be destroyed by what?
Fire.
With what?
Fire.
I know you're reading the Bible. This Bible said that in the last day, this world will be destroyed with what?
Fire.
But if you are faithful, you will not burn in fire. Come on now.
Yes. Yes.
If you are faithful to Christ, you will not burn in the fire. So John was faithful, and the fire was not able to keep him down. And the Romans got really upset and now said, well, let's take it to Patmos. Let's take it to Patmos. The Bible says there in John 1, Revelation 1, 9, he was in the island of Patmos because what? Why he was there? Because of the word of God. He was preaching about the word of God. He was teaching about the word of God. Preaching and teaching, that's what we're doing today. It's our topic. It's our thing for the year. He was teaching and preaching about the word of God. He was sent to Patmos. Patmos. This island, it was a very interesting one. It was especially prepared by the Romans to send those who were disobedient. Those who were unable to obey them, to the law. Since they were unable to put him down by fire, they said, well, let's just send him there to die. Because there's nothing. There's nothing in the island. When you read, when you study this island, actually the name of Patmos means my killing. My killing. It actually means there's nothing there. There's no fruits. There's nothing there. It's just plain, dry. It's a dead land. John was there. John was there in this island of Patmos. So he was this island, which is not fruits, no water. There was nothing. It was just a place where he was just waiting for him to die. In Patmos. A dead place. It's interesting how Jesus worked with us. See, I'm preaching today. I'm teaching today from the Revelation. And I want you to know there's still hope for us when we read Revelation. Since John is in Patmos, a dead island. But Jesus says, yeah, I know that the island is dead, but I'm here.
Amen.
And since I'm here,
amen,
I'll bring you life.
Yes.
See, there was no food there. But the Bible says that Jesus is the bread of life.
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus is the water. The true living water.
Yes.
What the Bible is saying is that when John was in the Patmos, there was nothing else but Jesus.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is enough.
Yes.
Oh, come on now.
Yes.
Jesus is enough.
Yes.
Friends are not there. Job is no longer there. I just got fired from my work, but Jesus is still there.
Yes.
Friends are gone. Family is there.
Yes.
Family is coming and going, but Jesus is still there.
Yes.
My church must disappear, but Jesus is still there.
Yes.
I still have hope,
yes,
because even though I'm in Patmos, Jesus is still with me.
Yes.
Oh, come on, somebody. You know that when you're going through difficult times, Jesus is the only one who stayed faithful to you. When there's nobody else to be found, when there's nobody else that you can call, Jesus is still there.
Yes.
Still there with you. Actually, this is what I have in my mind. When Jesus heard the news that John was about to go to Patmos, Jesus said, well, let's go. Because I'm just waiting for you to come.
Hey.
And we're going to have a wonderful time together.
Hey.
In fact, the Bible said that was Jesus, the one who presented himself to John. Oh, come on now.
Yes.
Jesus came in the midst of darkness, in the midst of loneliness. Jesus came to John and said, I am your hope. I am your strength.
Yes.
I am the power that you need to go forward.
Yes, sir.
See, brothers and sisters, we need to think about this. Because our hope is not in a place. Our hope is in the person of Jesus. Patmos, a dead place, but now it's alive because Jesus was there. Patmos, a dead place where there's no friend to be found, but it's all right. Jesus is there. So when you're down, praise the Lord. When there's no friend around you, praise the Lord, the name of the Lord. There's still hope for us in the midst of the last days. Read Revelation and you will find there's still hope for us. So this is number one. We need to find hope because the book was given to John, the son of thunder, who was able to spend some time with Jesus, and now it's Jesus talking to him face to face. That was Revelation, in a sense. It's face to face. Now, the reason why I'm so excited about Revelation is because it's the hope that we have. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says that this book is from Christ. The revelation from Jesus Christ. The revelation is coming from where? From Jesus himself. See, when you read Matthew and you read all this book, John and the Gospels, all that stuff, they talk about Jesus. Jesus is in there. But when you read Revelation, Jesus is talking about himself. Jesus said, I want you guys to know me better. I want to reveal to you what I had for you. I want to tell you about my hope. I want to tell you about my future. I want to tell you what a wonderful place. I want to tell you how things are going to happen in the last day. In fact, the Bible says that when you read Revelation verse 1, right there, there's hope. Right there. You don't have to go any farther. Right there. It's the revelation for Jesus Christ, which is all that we need. Just that's all you need to know.
Yes.
So you don't need to be scared when you read Revelation. See, when I was growing up, I remember when I used to go to church, they would talk about beasts and then seven churches and, you know, dragons and all that stuff, serpent, and I was scared. I wasn't able to understand what they were talking about. Instead of going out of the church with hope, I was going out of the church afraid. But now, we need to understand that the Bible, Revelation, is talking about Christ, about Jesus. There's hope, there's love. When you read and study Jesus, Revelation is all about Jesus. The whole Bible is all about him. So, it's a revelation for Christ, which it was given to him. It was given to show his servants. To show who?
Servants.
To show who?
Servants.
Who are those servants? Come on now. Who are those servants? Yes, we are the servants. The faithful servants who are still living in the last days. This book is for us, brothers and sisters. I thought somebody would say amen. This book of Revelation is for us. It's for me. So I know what? Listen to this. So the servants were most soon. Let's read it again. The revelation for Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon what? Take place. It's hope right there, brothers and sisters. Jesus wants you to know what's going to happen. Jesus wants you to know what is going to happen. Jesus wants you to be ready. He wants you to be prepared. Why? Because he loves you so much. He cares for you so much that he wants you to be ready when he's coming back. He wants you to be ready. And this is the reason why we have hope in the book of Revelation. Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be ready. Jesus now is saying, I want to reveal myself to you. Get to know me. I want to know you. Now is your time. Read my letter. Read my book. Because there is hope for you. Yes, I know in the times that you are living. Yes, I know how difficult it is. But I want to tell you, there is hope. And in this book, you can find hope that you're looking for. There is hope for you. This book is full of wisdom, knowledge, and kindness. Yes, there's a lot of symbols there, but still hope for you and I. There's still hope. Jesus is coming soon, brothers and sisters. And we cannot play around. It is time for us to take a decision for Christ. This is the time for us to be serious about what's going to happen. Think about it. The world is just going down. There's too much pain around us. People fighting everywhere. Where can we find hope in the midst of these crazy times? Our hope is found in Jesus, in the Bible. Get closer to Him. He wants you to be in this special relationship with Him. He wants you to develop this commitment, this special time with Him. Forget what other people are saying, what other people are doing. It's all about you and Jesus. Yes. He's the one who died for you. He is the one who gives you this wonderful book so you know what's going to happen, so you'll be ready. He wants us to take us to a better place. So I want to appeal to you this morning. I want Archie, please, if you can play, "We Have This Hope," very softly. And I want you to pray. I don't want you just to come up because I'm calling you and telling you to come up. I want you to let the Spirit touch your heart, touch your mind. Because I know there's no doubt in my mind that we are living the last days. I don't need to pray anymore about that. We are in the last days. I just need to be ready. I just need to be ready to go with Him. I need to be faithful to Jesus. I need to be faithful today. I need to be faithful today. So since we have this hope in Jesus Christ, we have this wonderful book. We have this wonderful knowledge about Him. We know the prophecy is real. It's already happening. Actually, when you read the book of Revelation, when you study that, you will notice that at least 85% of the book, or the prophecy from the book, is already being done. 85% of the book has been accomplished. It's almost over, brothers and sisters. Jesus is coming soon. Are we ready to see Him? So I want to appeal to you this morning. Because I want to be ready. And I want to be faithful to the end. And I want to pray for those who are like, who just like me, want to be faithful to the end. We don't know what's going to happen to us. We don't know what's going to happen to our family. We don't know what's going to happen. We just want to be faithful to the end. There are some friends, brothers and sisters, who probably will never going to see again. They're going to die. God going to take it to rest. There's some of us who are going to be able to see Jesus when He's coming back. We don't know. The question is, are you going to be faithful to the end? If you want to be faithful to the end, if you want to be able to stand in these last days, I want to pray for you. Actually, I want you to come and pray with me, because I want to be faithful to the end. I want to be there in the midst of trials and tribulation. I want to stand in the name of Jesus. I want to be faithful to my Savior and to my Lord. If you want to be faithful, I want you to stand right now. This is for the one who wants to stand and be faithful to the end. Trials, problems, sadness. We don't know when it's going to end. We don't know when it's going to happen to us. I just want to be faithful. Just like John, I want to be faithful. Some of us have to be in Patmos. Maybe you are in Patmos right now. But it's just dry. There's nothing there. Well, sometimes Jesus will take us to a place called Patmos. So when there's nothing left, when there's no friend left, when there's nothing that we can hold on to, there's nothing there, The only thing that we can call is on Jesus.
Yes.
So when there's nobody else, we still have Jesus. So if you think that you are all by yourself right now, if you think there's nobody else caring for you right now, I want you to tell you that you're wrong. Because you are probably in Patmos right now. But that's all right. Jesus is there.
Amen.
And Jesus is all I need.
Yes.
I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. I also want to make an appeal for somebody here today who hasn't been baptized yet. See, part of being faithful is also being committed to God. You need to show your commitment. You need to show that you want to be faithful by following Christ, by following Christ. If you haven't yet been baptized, but yet you want to be faithful, I want you to stand. I also want you to come forward. I want to pray for you in a special way. As the members of this church are praying, as the Holy Spirit is moving right now, is there anyone here who hasn't been baptized yet? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If you haven't been baptized yet, but you want to be faithful to the end, I want to pray for you in a special way. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. You want to come forward and said, I want to be faithful to the end. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Is anyone else who haven't been baptized yet? Who's not a member of this church? Yes. Who's not a member of the church? Well, is anyone who is not a member of the church? But you want to be faithful to God. You want to get ready. You want to get ready. Maybe you are afraid. Maybe you feel shy. You don't want to come forward. But maybe right there where you are, you just want to raise your hands. Let me see your hands. If you want to be faithful to God. Let me see your hands. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You haven't been baptized yet, but you want to be faithful to God. This is just between you and God.
Yes.
Don't worry about it. Everybody else is praying right now. They have their eyes closed. They're just praying for somebody to make a decision for Christ. So if you are here today, just want to see your hands. Let God see your hands. Show your commitment and faithfulness to Him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for your mercy and for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, because in you we have hope. We are in the last days of this world. We know that soon you are coming for us. Help us, Lord, to be ready, because we know that our hope is not found in a place. Our hope is found in the person of Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your mercies and for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
I have a little talk with you.